You're listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.
Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others the one that the ancient peoples, prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and on the third day be raised." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things that I love about the Bible is that it's full of stories about very human people. We have a tendency to look at biblical figures and look at the stories that we read there and say, "Oh my gosh, I could never have faith like that person," or "I could never really do that." And so we look at people like Moses or Paul or Peter and we think, "Oh, I could never have that kind of faith." But when we do that, we forget that they are human. We overlook their human attributes. When God first called Moses, for example, you remember, Moses had all kinds of excuses. He was full of reasons why he couldn't do it. He couldn't speak well. No one would believe him. No one would listen to him, not to mention the fact that he had killed someone. But, you know, he was not perfect. Or you can look at Paul, who before his conversion to Christianity was one who was persecuting the Christians. And if you read his words, he's a little bit full of himself too, not perfect. And then there's Peter. Peter is my favorite. Peter I talk about a lot because I feel like I can identify with Peter, and I think we all can at times. He tries so hard throughout Jesus' ministry to get things right and to do everything, but he just doesn't really seem to get it, even after the resurrection. Right? Jesus invites him to walk on water. You remember this? "Come on out, Peter. Walk." And he doesn't walk. He falls. He sinks. He doesn't have the faith that he needs. Or remember when they went up on the mountain for the transfiguration, and Peter goes into action and he wants to build booths and protect this space and stay up there forever, and he just doesn't get it. Jesus tells him that Peter will deny him three times. And what happens? Peter says, "Oh no, I won't ever deny you." And then, sure enough, three times he denies him. It isn't until the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost that Peter really starts to shine and really build and lead the church. But I really like all of this about Peter because it reminds me that to follow Jesus, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to truly know what to do all of the time. Jesus will work with us and help us to get there. In today's scripture, Peter, once again, doesn't get it. Now, people have been talking. The crowds have been swelling. Jesus and the disciples have been going, and they need some time away. In Mark's gospel, we're told that they go off to Caesarea. But here in Luke, it just says that they went away to pray. And so Jesus is praying, and he asks his disciples, "Who do these crowds say that I am?" Now, this is the height of Jesus' ministry. He's been surrounded by crowds. Before this passage, we have the Sermon on the Mount, or actually in the Gospel of Luke, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. And just after that, just before this passage, is the feeding of the 5,000. So this crowd, remember, is 5,000 people, 5,000 men, plus women and children. So a lot of people. This is the size crowds that Jesus is attracting. And the thing is, no one is really sure of who Jesus is. So the disciples say, well, this is what we've heard. This is what the crowds have said. They have said that you're John the Baptist, or you're Elijah, or you're a prophet. They're trying to fit Jesus and his teaching into what they already know from the teachings that they knew. But Jesus wants to know more. Do these people, his closest friends, his disciples, his followers, know who he is? And so he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter has a different message, a different answer. He says, the Messiah of God. Now, this is the right answer, right? The Messiah, the Savior, the fulfillment of the prophecy. But Jesus' response is confusing when he says, don't tell anyone. And then he tells them all that he must endure. Peter said the right thing, but he doesn't really seem to get it. He doesn't seem to understand all it means. If Jesus is the Messiah, he's going to suffer and die. And then in the scripture after, Jesus goes on to explain that those who follow him have to sacrifice. Their life isn't going to be easy. They have to pick up their cross and follow him every day and put their faith in God instead of worldly things. Have you ever maybe just told someone what they wanted to hear? I think sometimes, as a parent, I have done that, maybe either just to protect my kids, especially when they were little, or maybe as a kid, you've done that with your parents. You've said what you thought they wanted to hear, right? Have you ever done that? Maybe you weren't listening, and so you think figure out what the answer is, or whatever the case is. I think that that's what Peter is doing here. He's saying what he thinks Jesus wants him to say, without understanding what it means, all that it entails. He just doesn't get Jesus yet. There's a story by Tony Campolo that I like to tell at confirmation, and it's one of his more sobering stories, but it's really powerful. It was World War II, and the Nazis came to a Polish village. They rounded up all of the Jews, and they put them in a line for a firing squad. They then placed all of the bodies into a massive grave that the Jews themselves had dug. They shoveled the dirt over them. No one knew it, but there was a boy buried in the bottom of that pile. None of the bullets had touched him, and so he slowly dug his way out. Night had fallen, and when he got out, he ran throughout the village. He ran up to doors, and he knocked on doors. But every time he did, the door was closed in his face because they recognized him. They knew who this boy was. They knew that he had been part of that squad, and they knew that he was Jewish. They thought he had been shot, and they wanted nothing to do with him. They were afraid. So he kept knocking, and then finally he knocked on one door, and a woman answered, and before she could close the door in his face, he said, wait, don't you recognize me? I'm Jesus. Don't you recognize me? She took him in, and she cared for him as though he were her own. Later in life, as he was reflecting back on his childhood, he couldn't figure out why he said what he said. Perhaps it was God who put the words into his mouth. Whatever the reason, the words spoke a truth to the woman at the door. She saw Jesus in the boy who'd been rejected and left for dead. For her, Jesus was the outcast who called her to love in a way that transcended fear, fear of laws and social expectations that could lead to her death. We talk about seeing Jesus, recognizing Jesus, but I wonder, do we get Jesus like the boy did, like the woman did? Who is Jesus? Well, we know. Jesus is God in human form. He is here to show us love and forgiveness, but he is also the one in the need of love and the one in the need of comfort and the one who is lonely and the one who is hungry and the one who is hurting and the one who is outcast. And when we love all of those people, we get Jesus. We love like Jesus, and we do the work of Jesus. It's more than just saying the right words. It's understanding that sometimes following Jesus means that we are uncomfortable, that we sacrifice, that we go against the crowd and speak out and up. and do what we know in our heart is right, even if our reputation or our security or our ease is at risk. When we see Jesus and the one who is hurting or the one who is hungry, and we strive to make the world better, we get Jesus. I don't know that Peter got Jesus. His response to Jesus was what he thought he should say. It's probably what I might have said. And that's why I love Peter, because we can all do that sometimes too. But this is why confirmation in this church is such a hands-on experience. I went through confirmation when I was in sixth grade. It was 2 hours on Saturday morning for 6 weeks. It was so boring. None of us could sit still. We had workbooks that we worked through. We were really not very respectful to the pastor. It was just really hard. And we were sixth graders, right? Like, we had to get up early on a Saturday morning. I don't know that we understood anything anyway. We want our youth to have experiences that show them who Jesus is and help them to get to know Jesus and what it means to follow Christ and be the church. And so we do things like we pass out sleeping bags in Flint, or we build hygiene kits for kids who might need them, or we go and do a kingdom assignment. These 10 kids, each one of them chose something they were passionate about, and they used their gifts in order to support those services, those programs, and they raised $4,950. That's impressive. And they know that they can make a difference, and they know what it is to get Jesus. They've spent time together in Christian community. They've learned about grace and the church, and that as United Methodists, we are encouraged to use reason and experience along with scripture and tradition as we discern what we believe and what we understand. They learned about other religious traditions. They went and worshiped in an African-American worship service. All of these things help them to form their beliefs and figure out just who Jesus is to them. And you know what? I think they get it. I think they get what it means to be the church, to follow him. So we read that creed today. I know, I just, their words were awesome. But as you look in the booklet and you read each one's creed, you will see a common theme. And that is love. Love for God, love for church, and the love that they experience from God and the church. When we get Jesus, we understand first and foremost that we are loved unconditionally from the moment that we are born. God's grace is with us. And when we say we follow Jesus, we extend that love to others. Peter eventually figures it out. He receives the Holy Spirit. He's part of the birth of the church. He spreads the gospel, and he lets love guide him. He's even martyred for Christ. When we get Jesus, we let his love guide us, and the world can be transformed as a result. So who do you say that he is? May your life reflect it. Amen.
You've been listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.